to see you all this evening. We are in Revelation chapter 1. Thank you for joining us. I have enjoyed preparing the lesson for this evening. It's been a blessing to my heart. So today we will study the fourth step of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you remember the first step, remember the steps from this verse. We delineated five steps in the sequence of the revelation of Jesus Christ, going from God the Father to us today. And so we saw that God gave his revelation to Jesus Christ. That's the first step. It says in the text, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. We spent about 3 weeks studying that phrase, 3 or 4 weeks, I don't remember. We also saw the second step, that Christ sent his angel to transmit that revelation. And we saw that, and he sent and signified it by his angel. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the third step, the angel did exactly that. He signified this revelation to John. We saw that in the phrase, by his angel to his servant John. That's what we studied last week. The fourth step, John has written it and given it to the messenger. That's what we'll study this evening. In that phrase, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. And the fifth step will be, hopefully we'll study it next week, God willing, the messenger reads that revelation to those who hear. That's in verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Now, while each step is cumulative or progressive, it advances something, all the steps are not the same. Each step is different. In the first step, God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ. This speaks of the glorification of Christ. He's being given a name which is above every name. He's being crowned a Lord. He's appearing as Lord and Savior at his second coming. The second step is different from the first, even though it progresses things. Christ sent his angel to transmit this revelation. It's not the angel's revelation. The angel does not appear anywhere and does not seem to have ever spoken in the whole book of Revelation. The angel acted as a transmitter. That's how he passes that revelation from Jesus Christ to John. So it's still a progress, but it's not the same thing. The third step is also different from the second. In the third step, the angel transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. And that is what we studied last week. So for God in the first step, the revelation is a gift. For Christ in the second step, the revelation is a show and tell. For the angel in the third step, the revelation is a transmission. And we developed 2 points when we studied that third step last week. We studied the first point. We said in the first point was how John received the revelation of Jesus Christ. The words show and signify in the verse told us that. We studied these words. We concluded that the word signify is used intentionally. Amen. Every word in Scripture is used intentionally. So the special angel transported John into visions where John saw the day of the Lord. And John is going to use that word again in today's lesson. He saw the day of the Lord. That is the Lord's second coming. He saw the second coming of Christ just as Abraham saw the first coming of Christ. And he called all that also, Christ called it, my day. Abraham saw my day. That was his first coming. So the second point we developed last week in studying the third step of the revelation of Jesus Christ going from the angel to John was this, what John should do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the expression, his servant John, especially the expression his servant, indicated that to us. When God calls a person his servant, he means that the person is skilled, able, and trusted to represent God, his master, to carry out the awesome responsibility committed to him or her as a servant in Scripture. Exclusively, that's the way God uses that word, my servant. That's the way he uses it. It's not that far-fetched thing of the slavery of colonial time America that we try to chastise. This is a very high degree that this could be that God said, my vice president, okay? That's very high. And I tremble myself to call myself God's servant. I'm not worthy to be that. God can commit his word to that person. God can commit his testimony to that person, and the person will handle it appropriately. God can commit wealth to that person, and the person will handle it appropriately. God can commit knowledge to that person. God can commit high position of authority to that person. God can commit channels of blessings to generations of peoples, and that person will handle it correctly. That's what God's servant is. And that person could carry out that what God has committed to him or to her. That is what God means when he calls a person his servant. By being called Christ's servant, John was to secure what he saw and pass it along. And that is what we will study this evening. The fourth step of the revelation of Jesus Christ goes from John to the reader. And this fourth step is also different from the third step. The revelation has gone from a gift to a show and tell. It goes from a show and tell to transmission, and the transmission to bearing witness. And this is the way this fourth step is expressed at the end of verse 1, at the beginning of verse 2. It goes, his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. And this step, we will call it for our study this evening, the witness to the revelation of Christ from John to the reader. Now, there are two things from John's witness in that passage of Scripture. Two things, agency and activity. As an agent of our Lord, John bore witness. The activity of bearing witness constitutes reporting a very specific and very special content. And we'll study these two points this evening. The agency of John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the activity of John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's consider that first one. From those words, his servant John who bore witness, those words speak about the agency of John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see that John repeats his name in the third person. And in identifying himself, John is establishing the authority behind the witness that he's about to deliver. So the first thing we see, and there are two that we will see about the agency of John. The first thing we see about the agency of John as witness is this. John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ is a credible agent. Notice that John did not call himself apostle here. He did not call himself the elder as he called himself in the second and third epistles that he wrote. He calls himself his servant John. An apostle can write inspired scripture as if he were writing a sermon. He gives explanation, he analyzes words, and he writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He explains words, he makes applications, he utters orders and rules as an apostle under the control of the Holy Spirit. The elder is revered, and the elder speaks to you little children, and to you, fathers, and to you, young men, as John explains in 1 John. But as a servant, John is not uttering anything from his own. No position at all. He is only reporting. He is doing nearly the same as the angel, transmitting to us what he saw. No comment of his, nothing. Last week we studied the expression, his servant. We saw that the Bible uses the expression to refer to a person who is skilled, able, and trusted to represent God, his master, to carry out the awesome responsibility committed to him or her as servant. So the expression is very well appropriate for someone who's only going to see and report. Better, much more appropriate than apostle or elder. His servant. The expression his servant and the name John are equal to each other in this context. His servant is John. John is his servant. So the meaning is the same. John is a credible and capable commissioner to whom God has committed this awesome responsibility of testifying to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The servant is trustworthy. He is selected by the Lord to carry out this task because the Lord has deemed him his servant. Credible, trustworthy, capable, and committed. But there is a second thing to see about that agency. Not only is the as a witness of the revelation of Jesus Christ is the agent credible, he is also concordant. John, the verse says, bore witness. He does exactly what Christ and the angel do. He does not do his own thing. He is united with the angel who is united with Christ to reach the same purpose or objective. Where do I get that? Well, the verb translated to bear witness occurs three times in the book of Revelation. Only three times. It is used once for John, once for the angel, and once for Jesus Christ himself. Look at verse 1, verse 2 here. That's the first time it's used, and this time it's used for John. We hear John who bore witness. The second time it is used, it is in chapter 22, verse 16. You can turn there. As you are turning there regarding the activity of the angel. We know that the angel transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ from Christ to John. That activity of transmitting the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ called it bear witness or testify. It's the same Greek word translated by testify in chapter 22, verse 16. And we read there, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to do what? To bear witness or testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So what we see, John bore witness, which concords exactly with what the angel does. The angel bore witness too. Which also concord with exactly what Christ does. In chapter 22, verse 20, Christ uses the word bear witness to or testify about himself. We read, he who testifies or bears witness to these things says, surely I am coming. I mean, there is nobody else who is coming. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the answer is. They know who is coming. Christ is the one who is coming quickly. The whole testifying is about this very thing. Christ is coming quickly. That's what the book is about. It is not about anything else. It is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not even about the coming itself. It's about Jesus Christ. This book is there to bear testimony of Jesus Christ. Any teaching of this book that focuses on anything else other from Jesus Christ is out of harmony. It does not concord. The important point is this unified agency between the human, the angelic, and the divine. John bears witness, the angel bears witness, Christ bears witness. They are on the same note. John bears witness or testify, the angel who was sent bore witness or testify. Jesus Christ bore witness or testify. That's the way God's work should be done. The Trinity works this way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. They are unified. Not one of them will give a discordant note. They are unified in their bearing witness of the truth. Pastor, deacon, and church members must be unified in testifying of Jesus Christ and Him alone. All the programs or activities we have in our churches must be concordant. There should not be one that is about ourselves, about our pleasure, about our good time. They must all point to Jesus Christ. Don't be testifying of something other from what we have received, from what has been handed down to us by the apostles, of what Christ testifies. Nothing should be discordant. We must be in sync, concordant, in harmony, unified in our bearing witness of Christ. Anything else is, I would say, this type of human, angelic, and divine harmony. Any angel that goes outside of that is cast out of heaven. Now, while the agency is unified, while the bearing of witness is focused on the same person and resonates with the same tone, the activity of each entity in this harmonious orchestra is not the same. It's the same music in harmony, but they are not playing the exact same instrument. The activity of bearing witness by each one is different. The verb bear witness means to declare or describes exactly what was seen. No more. Saying the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth of what was seen. So the agency is unified in that John, the angel, and Christ presented the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth, and all that is about Christ. They are unified on that. But in testifying, they are not doing the same thing in that orchestra. The whole thing, whether transmitted by what we see, Christ testified of Himself, and He tells us the whole truth. This is who I am. He could not say anything else. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ want everybody to know and to see. He testified about this Himself, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and who is exalted above everything. The whole thing, whether transmitted by the angel or reported by John, is His testimony. Unified, yes, with Christ, but the angel testified by allowing John to see Christ in a way that Christ had never been seen before, without any hindrance, without any impediment. The angel does not speak of himself. The angel does not instruct. The angel does not appear at all on the stage. The whole stage of the theater is occupied by Christ. The angel only transmitted so that John might see everything of the testimony of Christ without any hindrance. So the angel's testifying, though pointing to the same person, the activity of testifying is different. John testified, and his activity of testifying is different. John testified by passing all that he saw to us. He saw and he wrote. His testifying is different in activity from the testimony of the angel, which is different in activity from the testifying of Christ. But they work in harmony. They are in harmony just as Christ intended it to be. One may plant, another one may water, but they work in harmony for God to give the increase. One may play the piano, another one may play the organ, one may be leading the singing, one may be flipping slides, one may be preaching there. They are all testifying of Christ, even though they are doing different activity. They have to be in that unified, concordant harmony. That's the way God works. And that's the way God's work is supposed to be done. We submit to each other, playing our role and sending the exact harmonious sound from each instrument for that beautiful music of God's glory, Christ's revelation to appear. So this activity of John as witness is exactly what we need to develop at this point. What is its content? We have just seen that his agency is credible and concordant. Now we can also study, secondly, this evening, the activity of John as witness to revelation of Jesus Christ. In those words, witness to the word of God and to the testament of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Now you see in this phrase, we can see that John's testimony contains three things. John testified to the word of God. He testified, secondly, to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He testified, thirdly, to all the things that he saw. But these three things are not three separate contents. No. They are three characteristics of the same thing. You remember, it's unified. The word of God is equal to the testimony of Jesus Christ, which in turn is equal to all that John saw. As a credible and concordant agent, John did two things. One, he saw all the things that the angel transmitted to him. And second, John bore witness to all those things that he saw. And these were the two activities of John, seeing and testifying. And I have to tell you, for me, when I come to preach, that's all I want to do. I see what in Scripture is in Scripture, and I testify it here at the pulpit. Seeing and testifying. And I prayed every time, whether it's Wednesday or Sunday morning or Sunday evening, Lord, don't allow me to do anything else but to see and testify of Jesus Christ. That's what we are there. Now John intentionally characterized the content of this seeing and testifying in these three ways. He characterized these three ways. Word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ, and all the things he saw. Simply said, John received, that means he saw, and he communicated. That means he bore witness, information. He saw, he received, and communicated information. He received communication from and about Jesus Christ. And that's all he communicated. And he reported that communication to us, characterizing that communication as three things. Same communication, but three characteristics. Word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ, and all that he saw. So let us try to unpack those three things. The first thing that we see, John testified that the revelation of Jesus Christ is God's decree. He calls it the word of God. Now I know we who love the Bible like this attribute, this expression, word of God. We like to attribute that to scriptures. Yes, it is. Word of God, the Bible. Well, yes, Scripture is what God said. It is the word of God. But the expression, the word of God, is more specific in this context. This context of Revelation 1, verse 2. The fact that the expression the word of God is synonymous to the expression testimony of Jesus Christ shows us that it has to be specifically related to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the expression the word of God is another way to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Bible itself. It carries the same meaning as what we read in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, for example. It says, I will declare to you the decree. And what does the decree say? The Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So what John is testifying, he's testifying of God's decree. And what is in God's decree? The revelation of Jesus Christ. We find something similar in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, Joel 1, 1, Jeremiah 1, verse 2, 4, and 11. These prophets who prophesied of God's judgment upon Israel characterized their prophecy as the word of God that came to them. That word of God that came to them was not a chat. That word of God that came to them was verdict. An irrevocable judgment. They call it the word of God. The judgment of God. The declaration, the verdict of God. So the revelation of Jesus Christ was given absolutely, irrevocably to Jesus by God. It is the word of God. It is the decree of God. What Jesus testifies of himself to John is the exact thing that God the Father has decreed. He didn't try to usurp a position that he didn't have. He didn't try to show himself a way that the Father did not decree that he is. When he says that he is above everything, is Lord of Lords, that is the decree of God the Father. Both are exactly the same. What God declared is what Jesus testified, or what is testified about Jesus. So now let me show you in the book of Revelation itself where we find that. You see those verses over there, we'll read them. The expression word of God occurs 7 times in the book of Revelation, and those are the references that we're going to read together. These 7 occurrences support what we are explaining here. Let us look at them. The first one, you don't need to read it, that's what we have here. That's in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9, please. I think, Brother Brian, you have the microphone.
Yes. Revelation 1, 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
You see, they are together again. So he's using it to put them together. Chapter 6, verse 9.
And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained.
Okay. So that word testimony is used there. Look at chapter 17, verse 17, please.
17 says, for God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled.
So you see the expression purpose in this verse. So God gave them purpose, objective, and his words is toward an objective. So when it's using with testimony of Jesus Christ, so that's the objective, okay? That's his decree. Chapter 19, verse 9, please.
19, verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God.
Okay. The marriage of the Lamb, that decree is the true words of God. I mean, that's an extraordinary invitation. What makes you get there? That's God's decree. Chapter 19, verse 13, please.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Ha, ha, ha. His name is called the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the equivalent. So when you are looking at the beginning of the book, and John says he testified of the Word of God, he's testifying about a person clothed in glory. So you see that person say, yeah, that's the label. That's the one who is the Word of God. Okay? The appearance of Jesus Christ is dubbed the Word of God. In singular, in verse chapter 20, verse 4.
And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
So people look unto the second, who look unto the second coming of Christ. That means they look unto the Word of God who is to appear and the testimony of Jesus Christ. They would prefer that. They would prefer to be beheaded rather than not look at that. And when you see them with the resurrection reigning, and you say, yeah, it's because of that second coming. They were killed, they are resurrected. The Word of God is equal to the testimony of Jesus Christ. But they are two different characteristics of the same. By the Word of God, it's God's decree that the Son be exalted above every name that is mentioned, whether in heaven, on earth, under the earth, wherever, whatever you go. You call it bench, you call it president, you call it tree, you call it science. His name is exalted above everything that you can put a label on it. That's God's word. And the second thing we see, John testified that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the testimony of Jesus Christ. As we were reading the passages that contain the expression, the Word of God, did you see how many of them had also that repetition of the two? The testimony. The word testimony occurs 9 times in the book of Revelation. 9 times the word testimony occurs. 7 of those 9 times are in the expression testimony of Jesus Christ. So, do you see where John wants to put the emphasis? And the other themes are for those who bear the same testimony toward Jesus Christ. Seven of these 9 times are in the expression testimony of Jesus Christ, and in 3 of these 7 times, the expression Word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ occur together. That is in chapter 1, verse 2, verse 9, and chapter 6, verse 9 that we saw. So in 3 more passages, there are synonyms, not the exact word testimony or the exact word, but there are synonyms that express the same thing. So the important point is this, the important phrase. So same, we have to hear, both are saying the same thing. What God declared as a decree, Jesus testified to the angel and to John and to all of us. God has decreed Christ is Lord, seen in a way that we have never seen him before. And that's what Christ testified. And that's what the angel testified. And that's what John testified. And that's why we must testify. That is what John is writing about. So he repeats it continually throughout his book. How can we miss it? The revelation of Jesus Christ is God's decree. The revelation of Jesus Christ is Christ's testimony. The revelation of Jesus Christ is all that John saw. And that's the third thing in this testimony. John testifies that the revelation of Jesus Christ is all that he saw. This means that all that John saw was the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. When the angel transmitted the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to John, his gazes were not on crowns. His gazes were not on his health or his wealth. His gazes were not on himself, his emotions. His gazes were only on the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's all he saw. He was seeing the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that only. That's one. But there is also that other caveat to it. All that he saw, he reported. He did not leave anything out. He only saw the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all that he saw, he reported to us. Hallelujah. As he was seeing the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, at times he cried. At other times he asked questions. Even at one point, he even fell down to worship one of the angels who was showing those things to him. He was getting distracted for one moment, and that angel said, No, turn your eyes on the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't worship me, worship him. You've been doing very well for 21 chapters, focusing only on the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And right when that angel said, guess what the next verse is? I am the Alpha and the Omega. The very next verse. Just as he was getting distracted and bam, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The angel forbade him. That's all he saw. And all he saw, it testified. All the significant points of what he saw as he was guided by the Holy Spirit without leaving anything out, he testified to them all. There is nothing of significance that John did not report to us. And all that he reports to us is about one person, the one who is called the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as we go, whether we study this book and go through our life, may everything that people see in our lives be focused on that very thing, testifying of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we pray that as you have given the responsibility to your servant, that this pulpit will never be about myself. And the prayer time and Bible studies will never be about myself. That I will never give in if there is anybody in that church who wants to force us to put attention upon themselves while they like. I like it this way. I am going to force you to do it this way. And if you were to tarry and that 50 years or 60 years from now, that this church will always focus that everything, anything that people see, that it will be the word of God, the decree of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ, him and him alone. Even if we were to stand alone on the face of the earth, that will be the only one to testify the same. Help your servant, Lord, to stand alone with Jesus Christ than to go perishing with the whole crowd. That Robinson Baptist Church now and forever will be about the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. In his name and him alone we pray.